ശരാകയ ചക്ഷുരുമന്മീലിതം ജയതസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപ കദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്വിതം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരോഃ ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരോന് വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്ര ജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാ സഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാന് സഹഗണലലിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ്ച. നമോ വിഷ്ണുപാദായ കൃഷ്ണപൃഷ്ഠായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്തസ്വാമിനിതിനാമിനെ. നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതേ ദേവേ ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷശൂന്യവാദീ പശ്ചാത്തദേശതാരിണേ. നമോ മഹാവരണായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രേമപ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യനാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വിഷേ നമഃ. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്തരാധാകാന്ത നമസ്തുതേ. ഭക്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനസുതേ ദേവീ പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ഛാകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച ഉപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭുനിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈതഗദാധ ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ. റീഡിംഗ് ഫ്രം 1.8.32 ടീച്ചിംഗ്സ് ഓഫ് ക്വീൻ കുന്തി. കേചിദാഹുരജം ജാതം പുണ്യശ്ലോകസ്യ കീർത്തയേ യദോ പ്രിയസ്യാന്വവായേ മലയസ്യേവ ചന്ദനം. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of the pious kings, and others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. Shri Prabhupada is writing in the purport. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn, because he himself establishes the truth. But still, there are different opinions as to why he takes his birth. So we are reading from the prayers of Queen Kunti. In the next three or four verses, Kunti Manani is giving some explanations about why the unborn Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is born in this world. Why is he called as unborn? Because Krishna's birth and our birth are not similar. That's a big difference. Like you have heard before, but I would like to repeat that point. that when a man and woman unite, there is a arrangement made by God in this world that the semen from the man's body is placed in the woman's womb, and that breaks the egg, and you know, then there is a fetus that develops, and gradually the baby gets the hands and the legs and the nine holes. They gradually develop, and every month there is a gradual development in 9 months, and then 9th month that child is fit to come out. Even doctors wonder how this amazingly happens, the development of a baby. So the flesh and bones for the baby is given by the mother, and the life is given by the father. So the semen carries the Atma, and it is all explained in the scriptures very clearly. When a person dies, the Atma comes out, then it goes to heaven, it goes to hell, different places, and then it comes down through the rains. So the rain water contains the living entities. That's why water is said to be life-giving, because the water has Atmas in it. Then when the water is drunk by a human being, or the water enters into plants, enters into sabjis, and then when a man eats the sabjis or drinks water, it goes into his system. And then that transforms into three things. One part goes into stool and urine, another part turns into blood, that is circulated to all parts of the body, and the third part goes to the consciousness. It molds the consciousness, whatever food we eat. So again, that blood contains semen also. The blood contains the life, the Atma also. And then that blood, when it transforms into dhatu, different dhatus, especially Shukra dhatu. Shukra is a semen. That contains Atma. So there are 7 dhatus, rasa, ratta, medha, majja, asti, like that. The last one is called Shukra, the semen. So there are millions of semen particles that are created in a man's body, but then some of them contain the Atma. So doctors wonder, when a man and woman unite, the semen from a man's body enters into a woman's womb, but not all the particles of semen move. Only some of them, they appear as if like with a head portion and a tail portion. You know, it starts moving inside the woman's womb. So the doctors wonder how this happens. Of course, it goes and it breaks the egg in the woman's womb. And then the egg emulsifies and develops a fetus. And then, with the combination of the sperm and the egg, the child is, born. So in America, doctors used to think that the life, arises from matter at the time of 7th or 8th month. They were thinking like that once upon a time. And they said up to the 7th or 8th month you can abort a child, they said. And then after that, once the life symptoms are seen, then you cannot kill. They made a rule like this. Later on, the matter went to American courts again, saying that the life symptoms manifest even in 5th month. Then they again researched and found that the life symptoms come from 3rd month only. They said you cannot abort a child beyond 3rd month. It's equivalent to murder. They made rule. And then till date they are not very sure when does the life symptoms manifest exactly. Some doctors say 2nd month, 3rd month. So one doctor analyzed, he found that the even in the 1st month, they call it as a, what is it? They have a particular name for it, like a plum. When the male, when the male sperm enters into the egg, the total unit. Zygote, they call it, yeah. Zygote. So he found that even in the 1st month, when he was trying to operate, when he was trying to abort, that gave out a screaming sound, can you imagine, which is recorded. Because when the abortion tube goes inside, the child doesn't want to be killed. Because even none of us would want to be killed, right? Imagine if somebody is sending a aiming a gun at your temple to, you know, shoot you, you will try to escape, is it not? So that doctor has recorded even when the zygote is very small. At that time it gives out a screaming sound, you can imagine. That means the crying ability is there even in the very early stages. So it gradually develops like this. Now if you see the Shastras, they say it is not that, you know, life manifests from matter. Life is there in the Atma, in the sperm. As soon as it enters and breaks the egg, right from that time life is there. Right from the time of conception, life is there. And this is the way all of us are. We can't even conceive of what I am saying now, comprehend, because once the Atma, we were placed in the semen, we were sent into the mother's womb, and then we entered into an egg, and then there we were sitting inside the egg in the mother's womb with upside down, you know, keeping our hands and legs like this, like arched above, isn't it? Inside the mother's womb for 9 months, upside down, isn't it? Getting some nourishment through the umbilical cord, from the mother's body. And then at the time of birth, 9th month, upside down, we are pushed out of the mother's womb. And then as soon as we are born, what is the first thing we do? Cry, because there is excessive pressure applied on the skull when we are coming out of the mother's womb. So this is the way the living entities take birth, all living beings in this world. So when Krishna appears in this world, even the religion is, those who follow the path of religion, some of them may get bewildered. Why? They wonder, hey, we thought God is a great person, and poor fellow, even he is also taking birth. He also has to stay in the mother's womb and tolerate all the problems in the mother's womb. Because the Shastras explain that while the child is in the mother's womb, he is offering prayer. With folded palms, he is praying, oh God, I have been put into this dungeon, like a godown, in this dark place. Please release me. As soon as you release me, I will become your devotee. I don't want to be there. Imagine you are put inside a room and locked up for 9 months. Whatever food you need is given through the window. You will really get bored with life. Isn't it? We all want to do something. And we don't want to be closed anywhere. So it's a constricted pocket. So child is praying. Besides that, there are also gastric juices and other things that surround the body of the child. And that is why the skin of the child has many bruises, if you see, when the child comes out. They are also very burning in sensation and painful. And there are also worms that bite. In Bhagavatam, there is a verse used which says the worm is called as a sodara. It is called. Sodara means saha udara, born from the same udara, which means from the same yoni, the worms are also taking birth along with the baby at the time of birth. Sometimes it's a very unclean situation. When the mother gives birth to a child, sometimes the worms are also, that means the worm is a brother who is born with the child also. So sometimes the child is being bitten by the worms also. So it's very, even in a current situation, if a worm is coming, caterpillar is coming towards you, we become so frightened. But you can imagine, inside the womb, we are living along with that fellow, and is biting our skin, going all over. So the child is praying like this, oh Krishna, oh Lord, my dear Lord. Can you imagine if you are put inside a closed room and cockroaches and snakes and things are coming in the room, you can't escape. The same manner, the child, poor fellow, as soon as he opens his eyes are very tightly shut. See, each of this happens at different months. The development also takes different months, and so the child becomes very, very quite conscious even at the 6th, 7th month. That's why some mothers say they can see the movement of the child inside. Some child is kicking inside the womb, moving his legs. Mother can see that. Which means the child is quite conscious of his sufferings and is praying to Lord, please release me. So, in Bhagavatam it is explained, when the child is born, he cries under the spell of Maya and he forgets what I prayed and how I want to surrender to God. He becomes completely covered over by Maya. So some people wonder, if Krishna is born, God is born in this world, God also has to suffer these things like us, in the womb, whatever we suffered, and then he is taking birth. So that is why that verse is very important. Please repeat that verse. Janma karma cha me divyam.
Janma karma cha me divyam.
Evam yoveti tattvatah.
Evam yoveti tattvatah.
Yatvadeham punarjanma.
Yatvadeham punarjanma.
Naiti maneti sorjana.
Naiti maneti sorjana.
Avajananti mamura.
Avajananti mamura.
Manushinta numashritam. Param bhavam ajananto, mama bhuta maheshwaram. Very beautiful verses. Janma karma chame devyam. My birth and activities are all divine, he says. Why are they divine? They are not like the birth and activities of an ordinary mortal, he says. Like you see, Varahadev, where is he born? He is born from the nose of Brahma, he comes out. Even Brahma doesn't know who is this fellow. Huh? You see? And where is Narasimhadev born from? Pillar, you see? Have you ever seen a baby coming out of a pillar? That is the meaning of Lord's divine appearance. Huh? He can appear from anywhere. Huh? He can appear from a pillar. He can appear from a nose. Huh? It's not that he has to always take birth in a womb. Huh? And even when he was born from the womb of Devaki, he is not born like a baby is born. And his body is not developed. That's why he says Devyam. First of all, the Lord's body is Devyam. He comes in his self-same form. In spiritual form he comes. We are spiritual bodies, but we are trapped in a material body. We are a spiritual body, but the spiritual body is placed inside a material body, like a car, inside a, like a driver inside a car. But as far as Krishna is concerned, his body itself is Satchitananda, completely. That is the main difference we should know. And Vasudeva one time suddenly experienced a great ecstasy when Krishna entered the mind of Vasudeva at one point of time, when he wanted to be born. And then the mind of Vasudeva, he enters into heart of Devaki. And the heart of Devaki is called as Hridaya Garbham. And from that Hridaya Garbham, he suddenly manifests as Vishnu. Prabhupada explains in this purport how, like you know, Guru Maharaj was closing his eyes and meditating on the Vishnu-murti form, as explained by Narada, from the lotus feet, the calf, the thighs, the navel of the Lord and chest of the Lord, the Kasturmani in his chest, and Chank Chakra Gadapadma, like our Balaji is holding. And the yogis meditate on each of the spokes of the chakra, and they meditate on the shank, the mukut, the kundal, and the smiling face, and the beautiful lotus petal like eyes. As Dhruva was meditating, he was getting overwhelmed in ecstasy, ecstatic love, and suddenly Vishnu in his heart disappeared. The Hridaya became like a dark gufa. There was nobody there. And Dhruva became shocked. And then he opened his eyes, and he saw the same Vishnu inside his heart was standing right in front of him. See, Lord Vishnu has given his such a darshan to many great personalities like Brahma also. In the dawn of creation, Brahma could not see Vishnu, although he was sitting in the lotus which was coming out from the navel of Vishnu. He even came down the lotus stem and he stood right on the navel of Vishnu, but he still couldn't see Vishnu. Can you imagine? Is it not surprising? He is standing on the navel of Vishnu now. And he is looking all around, everywhere he sees only darkness. Again he climbs up the stem and goes and sits back in the lotus. And not knowing what to do, he is praying in ignorance. Oh God, please, you know, whomever you are, who is the source of my creation, please reveal me the truth. I don't know what to do. And then the Lord resigned the two syllables, tapa, and he also mercifully impregnated the meaning of these syllables in his heart. What is to be done? And then he learned from the Lord himself what is tapasya internally. And then he performed tapasya. And then when he opened the eyes, he got darshan of Vishnu. First thing he got in the darshan was Vishnu's lotus feet, which were pinkish. And then he saw the yellowish, dazzling, golden Pitambar. Then he saw the jeweled belt. Then he saw the beautiful chest with all necklaces and beautiful the Kaustubha Mani also. Then he saw the Lord's arms with the arms and bracelets, and his bluish body was like a bluish sapphire, shining. Then he saw the smiling face, and Vishnu was lying in the Ananta Shesh, with his semi-closed eyes in Yoga Nidra, very beautifully smiling. And he is a carefree person, he has nothing to worry like us. He has no tensions, no going to college and no examinations. He was very peacefully relaxing in the Ananta Shesh, and seeing that form, Brahma immediately shouted, "Oh, this is Lord Hari," he said. But actually, how did he know this is Lord Hari? That is also knowledge given by Vishnu in his heart. He got that knowledge. So Vishnu gives darshan like this for his devotees who are sincerely worshipping him. He is in the heart of everyone, but he can also come out of the heart. He came out of Dhruva's heart. Like that, Krishna came from the heart of Devaki and appeared in front of Devaki in the jail of Kamsa. That is why his birth is called Divya. Unlike the child who is pushed out from the womb of the mother with all the amniotic fluid and all the worm and everything, Lord is not born like that, like we are born. And also we are impelled to take birth in this material world, forced to take birth. Lord doesn't take birth like that. That is why Lord is called as unborn, because if he comes also, he comes out of his own sweet will, and he goes out of his own sweet will. The example the Prabhupada gives elsewhere, like a president of India can come into the jail. In fact, when he comes into jail also, the policeman and sub-inspector and CID and all those, DSP and all, they come running behind him, and then they open the jail gate, sir, please come in. And then they allow him entry, and then he goes inside and goes for a round and meets the people, and then when he is going back, he is sent out with salute also. He is brought in with salute and sent out with salute. So he is coming and other prisoners coming is not same. Imagine if a thief thinks, hey, this fellow has come into jail, maybe he has become a thief also. Isn't it? Like, some people say, Krishna is stealing butter, so I am also stealing. No, when we steal, we are put in the jail. When Krishna steals butter, he becomes glorified as Makan Chor. Isn't it? When we run away from the battlefield, we are called Kayar. When Krishna runs from the battlefield, he is called Ranchor. Ranchor Dry Ki Jai. I glorify him like this. Is it not true? You see? Yeah. So, when Lord does these activities, he is glorified. Why? Because Lord can never steal anything from anybody, because everything belongs to him only. Is it not? And he doesn't have to run from anybody, because nobody can kill him. Nobody can cut his body, nobody can kill him, nobody can destroy him. We are fear because our bodies are destructible, our material bodies. So we have destructible bodies, so we fear in this world. We have... We want favors from others, we have fear from others and all that. But we are also called Ajaya. Like here, Krishna is called Ajaya. How can we be called Ajaya? On which platform? On soul platform. We are also unborn. Ajaya. Because the soul is never born any time. The soul eternally existed with Krishna always. Krishna says, Ajaya Pisan, Adyayatma Bhutana Mishra Pisan. We are also Ajaya, and we are also Avyaya, imperishable. What is it verse? Najayate Mriyate Va Kadachin, Nayam Bhutva Bhavita Vana Bhuyaha, Ajaya Nitya Shashvatoyam Purano, Nahanyate Hanyamane Sharire. What is this verse? Beautiful verse. Na jayate mriyate. The soul is never born and never dead. Va kadachin. Kadachin means kata, kadachit. Kabhi bhi atma janam nahi leta, marta nahi. You wonder, I am taking birth. What is it? Atma is not taking birth, but atma is just placed in the body and removed from one body and put in another body, third body. we are like moved from one body to another, just like the gold and other commodities, valuables are moved from one pocket to another pocket, like that. And the example is given in the Bhagavatam and Chitragita section. Like the cows and the goats, they are sold by one merchant to another merchant. They go from one house to another. Or the gold is sold by a merchant to another person. Like that, the Atma moves from one body to another, birth after birth. He himself never takes birth. Na jayate mrete va kadachin na ayam bhutva bhavita va anabhuyaha. He was never born, he will never be born in future. Ajaha nitya shashvata. See, these words are used. Is aja, is unborn, is nitya, is eternal. Shashvata, is imperishable soul. Ajo nitya shashvato ayam purano. Means he is primeval, he always has been existing. Na hanyate anyamaneshari. Even if somebody cuts our body or shoots our body, Kennedy was shot dead, but Kennedy didn't die. The Atma in Kennedy's body went to another body. You take another birth, surely. When somebody is killed, it's not that the person dies, the Atma goes to another body, he says. When you know this truth, it's a big relief, because we become fearless by knowing this knowledge. And Krishna also tells this verse, Nainam chintanti shastrani, Nainam dahati pavakaha, Nacharinam klei dayantyapo na shoshayati maraka. These are physical and chemical characteristics of soul. Isn't it? Like you study in physics and chemistry. So Krishna is telling you, I am also a scientist, take it here from me. You are studying all these metals and salts and bases and all that. And I will tell you the physical chemical characteristics of soul, about which you have no knowledge. Krishna says, I will tell you. So he is telling, the soul cannot be cut with a scissor or a blade. The soul cannot be burnt by fire. The soul cannot be moistened by water. Soul cannot be dried up by air. Which means basically it is not, it cannot be categorized in solids, liquids, glass or plasma. Gases or plasma. These are the four things we know. So it is not categorized in any of this. The soul is beyond. It is transcendental. It's anti-material. It is spiritual. So, yes, we are also Ajaya. We are also Avyaya Atma. But then Krishna says, Bhutana Isharopisan. I am the leader of all the jivas. Can you say that? That the jiva cannot say. That's like Prime Minister can say, I am the king of this country, India, and all the praja of India is under my custody. He can say that. But we cannot say that. We are one of the prajas. Similarly, the living beings are all subordinate to Krishna, and Krishna is superior. And so because he is unborn, that's why he is called unborn. Anytime he can come in, anytime he can go out of this world. And now, some people say, you know, God can never come into this world. God is so great that, you know, he cannot be born in this world. This is the conclusion of some people. Prabhupada say, why not? Why can't the God come? There is a story of Akbar and Birbal. Why? Birbal wasn't telling about the large incarnations in this world. And Akbar said, I cannot believe that, you know, such a great God, you know, he will be born like you and me. Birbal said, sir, it's not that he is born like you and me. His birth is divine. But yet he appears. Because he loves his devotees. You know, you all know that Bhagavad Gita verse. What is that? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskratam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. To protect the sadhus and to destroy the demonia and to re-establish dharma, the Lord appears in this world. It's a very, very famous verse in India. All people recite this. So he told this, but still Akbar couldn't believe. Akbar said, even if God wants to do these things, you know, he can always do through so many people. Why he himself has to come? You know, even if he has to kill a demon, is it a big deal for him to kill a demon? Just, you know, create some heart attack or make some brain tumor or, you know, create some cancer in his body. And people die like anything very quickly. Or make some swine flu. You know, something you put and easily a person will die. Why should God come himself? I don't think God comes. But then Birbal tried to explain, my dear king, the Lord feels some kind of vatsalya bhavana. Just like the cow feels for the calf. You see, a cow will never give milk unless the calf is brought in the front. You know that? The cow has to lick the calf, the baby. You know? Then the cow will give milk. And the calf is allowed to drink half the milk, and half the milk is taken by the other milkman. Huh? So, in the same manner, just as a mother loves a child, you can see the mother's love for a child is, my Lord, it is so deep-rooted, intense. One time, one of the sannyasis was telling, one mother had gone for some fun fair, and in that she had taken her small boy, who must be around 6 or 7 years old. He was catching her hand, and then she wanted to see some product to buy. So when she was seeing that, the boy started wandering here and there, and he started picking up some things here and there, and then he got lost, and there are thousands and thousands of people in that. And then when the boy got lost, suddenly the mother realized that the boy is missing. She turned around and she couldn't locate the child. So the child, the boy was somewhere else weeping for the mother, and the mother was here weeping for the boy. And she started screaming, and she ran here and there with torrents of tears in her eyes. And this Maharaj got to see that. And then this Maharaj told the devotees, announce in the mic. And they announced, you know, is there anybody who saw a child, you know, who is crying for the mother, or, you know. And then of course somebody brought the child to the stage. And then they called for the mother. And the mother came running and grabbed the child. Grabbed the child to her shoulder. The Maharaj said, I saw, you know, there were such tears glistening in her eyes. I could see, if a mortal mother can have so much affection for her child, how much God must be having affection for the jivas, who are his own part and parcel. God also has a great attachment to his living beings, who are his loving servants. And we are separated from him for not 1 or 2 years, millions of years. And he is always eager to bring us back. In order to do that, bringing back, he personally comes into this world. And what he does when he comes into this world, he gives Bhagavad Gita in such a wonderful manner, which is now spoken and interpreted and commented by so many people. So Lord gives this knowledge. Why? Because the darkness of this world can never be eradicated without he personally giving the knowledge. Vedavak is one which can enlighten us. Yeah. So that's what Bhagavad Gita said. God comes because he is very much lamenting, worrying that he is missing his devotees. To come to this world, to enjoy playful pastimes with his devotees, and along with them, take them back home, back to Godhead. And for those who are not present in his time here, who will appear later like all of us, for them these pastimes will be a permanent record. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, please repeat this verse. Teshamaham samuddharta.
Teshamaham samuddharta.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Mrityu samsara sagarat.
Bhavanina chirat partha.
Bhavanina chirat partha.
Maya veshita chetasan.
Maya veshita chetasan.
Maye vamana adatsva.
Maye vamana adatsva.
Maye buddhyam nireshaya. Nivasishyasi
mayeva.
Ata bhurdvam na samshayaha. So Krishna says in this verse, Tesha maham samuddharta. For those who surrender their lives to me, I am samuddharta. I am the swift deliverer, he says. You have seen that picture where a devotee with raised arms in the middle of an ocean is doing like this, and the Lord is coming in a Garuda, bird carrier. And he is extending his arms, give your arms, like that he is picking him up. You seen the picture? How many of you have seen? Most of you have seen. Yeah. Others who didn't see, you can ask other devotees to show you the picture. It is there in the Bhagavad Gita, I think. So, like that the Lord lifts up the devotee from this world and takes him back home, back to Godhead. That's why he comes. And we people who read Bhagavad Gita, we get the same benefit. Although right now the Lord has not appeared in front of our eyes, by reading Bhagavad Gita, we get the same benefit of Arjuna. So, even after explaining all these things, Akbar was not convinced with Birbal's explanations. So, one day what Birbal did, Akbar was just having fun watching in a lake, sitting by the side of by the bank of a lake, was watching. At that time Birbal had made some arrangements which Akbar was not aware of. So there were some people going in a boat, and suddenly Akbar noticed the boat and he asked, who are those people going in the boat? They seem to be some strange people, because sometimes the government is always worried about the terrorists. They may come in disguise, they may keep bombs somewhere, or they may leave a bag somewhere. Bag they have kept, a time bomb or something. So these people appeared strange. And suddenly Birbal also said, yeah, they appear to be strangers, I don't know who they are. We have to find out. And Akbar sent some messengers to find out who they are. And those fellows were taking out a baby to be thrown in the water. It was just a doll baby. Sometimes you have a doll baby, isn't it? So from a distance Akbar saw, what are they doing? They are taking a baby and they are dipping the baby in the water upside down. And Birbal said, oh, my dear king, it is your baby, your child, he said. And immediately Akbar jumped into the water. And he started swimming and rushing towards the boat. And he went to pick up the baby, and he realized actually it was a doll baby, it was not his baby, which exactly resembled his baby. Anyway, he came to a shore, and Birbal asked him, my dear king, why did you jump so madly into the waters? He said, then what was my baby? He said, but yes, by your side so many soldiers are standing. If you told one of them, you clap hands and immediately for 10 fellows to jump into water. You have so many people. But Akbar said, what do you mean? It's my baby. He said, so that mamatvata is there with Krishna and the jivas also. Actually, as jivas, we also have the mamatvata. The true mamatvata is what? Krishna is mine and I am Krishna's. Similarly, Krishna also feels the jivas are mine and I belong to my jivas. He feels that. So, but when we give up that, we get mamatva for Mera Bharat Mahan, or Jai Maharashtra, Jai Kerala, Jai Andhra, Jai Karnataka, Jai Tamil Nadu, Jai Uttar Pradesh, Jai Madhya Pradesh, Jai Gujarat, Jai Bengal, Jai Pakistan. That mamatvata comes. Otherwise we may have mamatvata for our own caste. And all these things. You see, when we give the original mamatvata. So that's the reason given in the Bhagavad Gita, why the Lord comes. Here Kunti is telling the Lord comes for various reasons she is trying to give. Why the Lord might have come into this world. Because she is saying, hey, this Krishna is coming as my cousin, as my nephew. She is the aunt of Krishna. And this fellow is wandering with Pandavas like a cousin brother. He is playing with them, he is dining with them. You know, he is behaving like an ordinary human being. And Kunti is very disturbed by seeing this. She says, my dear Lord, if you behave the way you are behaving, all the mortal living entities will think you are one amongst them. Like Krishna is crawling in Vrindavan as a baby, isn't it? People will think he is an ordinary child. Avajananti Mamudha. The Mudhas will think he is an ordinary person. That is why Krishna suddenly sometimes lifts the cover and heals up. Opens the mouth and shows the universe in his mouth in order to check such a misunderstanding. So that in between he shows his godhood, or how he is Bhagavan. Then the living entities get bewildered. You know, I can also play like a baby, and I can also have girlfriends like him, and I can also do so many things, but I can't lift the Govardhan hill. I can't open my mouth and show the universe. Then they understand I am not God. So Kunti is telling here, Kechid Ahur Ajam Jatam Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye, which means you have born here for the glorification of pious kings. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj is a very great devotee of Krishna. Prahlada is a great devotee of Krishna. See, Yudhishthira Maharaj's greatness is amazing because, you know, Krishna loved him very dearly. After the Kurukshetra war, when Krishna was about to leave for Dwaraka, Yudhishthira came and requested. Yudhishthira and the Pandavas were following Krishna with them. Some distance they came. They came out of the palace. They went along with him in the street. And Krishna told them, I go back now. You all be in your palace. I am going now. But they were not leaving him. They went up to the frontiers of the Hastinapur. And then they asked Krishna, is it possible, my dear Lord, please do not go away. You know, come and stay with us for some more days. Then Krishna came back. And he stayed with them. He loved them so much. He lived in their palace. In fact, Narada was talking to Yudhishthira Maharaj. He is telling, my dear king, Lord Krishna loves Pandavas, all of you, so much that he is coming and residing in your palace. The rishis and munis in the forest, they are not able to see Krishna. And they want to see Krishna, they have to come to your palace. That is your prerogative. You are such a great devotee that you have captured the Lord in your palace and kept him bound by your love. The Pandavas are such great devotees. You see, Prabhupada explains, compare these three kings, King Nala, then Nala Damayanti, you might have heard, King Nala, King Yudhishthira, King Ramachandra. All three are kings, but they are not of the same category. Nala was a very pious king, you know, like he would give a lot of charity, he was such a truthful person and all that. But he is not glorified for being a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Just a pious king. How many of you have met good people in your college who have many good qualities but who are not devotees? Correct? I bet, yeah. So this is the first category. The second category is Yudhishthira Maharaj, who was a great devotee of Krishna, along with all the good qualities. He was a great devotee of Krishna. Third category, Ramachandra, is also a king, but he is in the category of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to know these differences. It's very important. So no matter how much pious one may be, that is not, he is not counted as a great soul. For example, a pure devotee is said to be clean, but not all clean people are pure devotees. You see, so many, in IT park, so many software companies are very clean. Are they pure devotees? Their heart is so unclean. They are indulging in so many sinful activities. Similarly, the saintly behavior, we say, simplicity, tolerance, the renunciation, detachment and all these things. These qualities are not called devotional service at all. They are not counted in 64 angas of devotional service. Because somebody may have these qualities and not be a devotee of God. You understand, no? But if one is a devotee of God, those good saintly qualities will manifest in him eventually. So, sometimes, we glorify, Prabhuji, this boy is a topper in our class, He is a UT, university topper. People come and show somebody. That doesn't make him a great soul. Because in this lifetime, he is bestowed with some vibhuti, some opulence by God, which will be taken away at the time of death, and next life we don't know what rank he will be. But if he becomes a devotee of Krishna, then he is glorious. You can say that, you see, he is a university topper, still he chants 5 rounds or 6 rounds. Then it's a feather on his cap, undoubtedly. It becomes special. Like George Harrison is a Beatles. Being Beatles doesn't make him very great. Because so many great fellows have come and gone. Where is Napoleon Bonaparte? Where is Alexander the Great? Where are all these people? Where is Hitler? Where is Stalin? Where are all these people? Where are all the cinema actors and actresses? Once upon a time they were, shining in the sky like a star. Then they became shooting stars. They are gone now. They disappeared into the oblivion. Where are they all gone? Think for a moment. So, you see this, there was a queen of Rajasthan. I don't remember her name. Some five, six months ago, there was a newspaper article. She was said to be having the eyes of a dove or eyes of a pigeon or eyes of a deer or something. Very beautiful deer when she was a young girl. She was considered the most beautiful beauty queen of India and all. And she was world famous and all. But now she has become an old lady. She passed away probably in 90s or something. They put the photo now. What happened to those beautiful eyes? And her flesh which is hanging in the old age. All that beauty is gone in this world. So, all the great personalities who existed at one time, their greatness is finished by the slap of time, by the separating sword of time, let us say. So, the pious kings, who are pious but not devotees, they are not glorified in Bhagavatam at all. You will not find. Bhagavatam glorifies those with good qualities but who are great devotees of the Lord. In fact, Bhagavatam talks about people who are 10th class rascals like Ajamila because he has a connection to God. Bhagavatam talks about that. He may say, Prabhuji, my name is not there in Bhagavatam and Ajamila's name is there. I never did as much bad as Ajamila did, you know. But Ajamila, why is he glorified? Because he called Narayana. And then, you know, helplessly he called and he went to Haridwar and became a pure devotee and then went back to Vaikuntha. So his name is there. That is why. Otherwise, the Bhagavatam may give names of atrocious fellows like King Vena, you know, who was not a devotee of God. Katamopi na vera syat, panchanam purusham prati. Bhagavatam says that. Vena was an asura but not like Kamsa. At least Kamsa thought of Krishna constantly in fear. Shishupal thought of Krishna constantly in envy. But Vena didn't think. But why Vena's name is there? Because by torturing great souls, he enraged the great souls. By which the great souls expressed their dissatisfaction by saying, like that they said, immediately died. So the Bhagavatam teaches sometimes we should not enrage great souls like that. So Bhagavatam only gives unless there is some lesson to be learned. Otherwise, ordinary kings with good qualities, they are not glorified in Bhagavatam. So this teaches us an important lesson. Never glorify any quality like, you know, Karna is a Danavir, Danashur. This kind of glorification is not appreciated in Bhagavatam. He may be a Danavir, but unless he is a devotee of God, all his good quality becomes null and void. Mogasha, Moga Karmana, Moga Jnana, which is Bhagavad also says that. All of our good qualities become null and void without connection to God. You will see that, like if a person has some good quality without reference to God, he becomes proud unnecessarily. Is it not true? That is why here it says, Punya Shlokasya Kirtaye. You have come in this world to glorify those kings like Yudhishthira Maharaj, who are your great devotee kings. You are coming for that. And then she is saying, Yado Priyasyandavaye Yadu. Yadu is also a very great devotee of Krishna. You know, Yadu's father is Yayati. And once Yayati got a curse that you become an old man, by Shukracharya gave him a curse. And then he told Shukracharya, oh my dear Brahmana, you know, you have made me an old man in young age. And I have not enjoyed life enough. And I have not destroyed all my material desires. So please, give me my youth back. So then Yayati took mercy on him, this Shukracharya, and told Yayati that you can exchange your old age with someone else's youth. That means you give your old age to someone and they will give their youth to you for some period of time. And then you can enjoy your youth room and then give your that back and take back your old age. That kind of facility Shukracharya had given him. Then Yayati came to his sons. First he asked his, younger sons, religious sons. They said, Father, why should we give our young age to you? In young age, we want to enjoy our body and senses, especially sex life. They said, we want to enjoy life, why should we give our youth to you? We will not give, because they were all selfish gratifiers. So that is one category of sons. The another category of son, Yadu was also one of his sons. And he was willing to give his youth to Yayati. But then he thought, if I give my youth to my father, and I keep his old age with me now, and years will pass, in that age, in Satya, Treta, Dwapara and all, the ages are very long, is it not? So this was in Dwapara Yuga. So, lot of years would pass. Because in Dwapara Yuga people will do for how many years? 1,000 years they would live. So years would pass and Krishna is supposed to appear in my dynasty, Yadu dynasty. That would get delayed. So he told his father, my dear father, you know, I have two dharmas in front of me now. One is, you know, Krishna will appear in my dynasty, so Lord is waiting to come. So he has to appear. That is one dharma for me. Another dharma is to, for me to give you my old, my young age to you, and then take back, take your old age and then give it back later. So this is my petty dharma to my father. He said I would prefer to do my dharma to Krishna. Sarva dharman paritajya mamekam sharanam raja. That he followed. So Yadu also became glorified for this type of surrender. And then father didn't mind. He told Yadu, you are glorious. Not like the religious sons who want to enjoy their body. But then there was one son called Puru, who told the father that I am ready to give my youth to you, and you give, give your old age. And that's how he exchanged. That comes in Bhagavatam. So Yadu was a very great devotee of Krishna, because Yadu is called, Krishna is called as Yadunandana, Yaduvira, Yadava, correct? These names are coming from Yadu. So Yadopriyasyandavaye Malayasyeva Chandanam. And Prabhupada explains, Krishna is just like the sandalwood that grows in Malaya hills. Why? Because trees can grow anywhere and everywhere, yet because the sandalwood trees grow mostly in the area of the Malaya hills, the name sandalwood is given. Just like you all know this scent, there's a scent called as cologne. It's a scent. So why is it called cologne? Because the scent is made in UD cologne. Cologne is a place, UD cologne they call it. It's a scent. So, like, you know, sometimes a name becomes a standard. For Biro means people say Godrej Biro. And it's very commonly known in India. Is it not true? And we talk of any Biro like that. Similarly, scent, when you talk about scent, this UD cologne is very famous. It's made in cologne. But can anybody say that UD cologne scent can be made only in cologne city? And some, can't you make it in Pune? If you want, you can make it now. But although it appears in cologne, it originally they have manufactured it. Similarly, any product you will see, they sometimes become very, very outshining. BMWs are made in some place. Every product is famous. Made in some place. Similarly, Krishna appears in the family of Yadu dynasty like a sun that is rising in the east. Sun generally rises in the east. It appears to be, you know, coming out of the ocean. Sometimes when somebody is seeing a sun rising in the east in the early morning, and somebody sees like that. Similarly, the sandalwood is generally, you know, oftentimes found in which place? Malay hills. In abundance, in great quality, in abundance. The purpose is, it's not that sandalwood cannot appear elsewhere. Similarly, Krishna can also appear anywhere. It's not that he has to appear only in the family of, family like Yadu's dynasty. He can appear at any place he wishes. He appears from a pillar, as he said, Narasimhadev. Every avatar of Krishna comes, like the Matsya avatar, Kunya avatar, Varaha avatar. These personalities didn't have parents only. God just appears from anywhere, appears from a nose. The purpose of saying this is to show that Lord is not bound by any obligations or rules. That is the point. Now in the next few verses, Kutumani will tell further reasons for why Krishna appears. Then she goes on the next verse and for the next one also. Beautiful. Four verses actually. Yeah. She's giving five reasons. And then five verses actually. Next to five verses she will give you further reasons. Yeah. Beautiful. And all the, every one of the reasons she is giving is so beautiful why Krishna appears. Which goes to show an interesting thing. Krishna can hit a dozen mangoes in one stone. You know, one stone, one catapult you take and tack, hit it, and dozen mangoes fall in that. Similarly, Krishna accomplishes various goals in one shot when he does one thing. Multiple things he achieves. Similarly, all these reasons, so Kunti is saying, Krishna is giving up the realization, why he is appearing And by remembering each of the reasons why Krishna is appearing, you know, one's eagerness to know about Krishna and Krishna's affection for his devotees become revealed very beautifully. Mantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Prabhupada ki, Bhakta Vrinda ki. Anybody had any questions? 5 minutes, I'll take questions. Generally, I speak my classes very long and I don't take any questions at all. Today I thought I will end early and I'll take some one or two questions.
Yado priyasyanvavaye malaya seva chandanam.
Yeah?
In the starting of class, you are saying that when the child is when he comes and he forget to all the things.
The mic, you can speak in the mic, please.
Hello, Hare Krishna. Generally, in starting of class, you are saying that when a child is mother womb, when the child is mother womb and he comes out, when he comes out to mother womb and he captured to Maya and he lost everything what he prayed to in mother womb. And why Lord cannot realize after a few months and after a few later that you pray me and you have to you have to say ki once I come out of this hellish situation then I become a devotee. Why Lord cannot realize after some time later?
Yeah, why this child forgets? He forgets under the spell of Maya. Because like right now you are sitting in the class and you are discussing philosophy. You are very much Krishna conscious now, right now. But sometimes you go back to your room, or go back to your hometown, your friends are calling you for a movie, you are watching TV at home, isn't it? And then you find you get carried away even now. Is it not true? You have an experience of it. How many of you experience that sometimes you become swayed away by Maya? Yeah. The experience of it? Yeah.
Is it not true?
So even right now, you are in a wakeful state, you have so many nice devotees, you have heard so many classes, you have chanted so many rounds. We are called Tatastha Shakti. Tatastha means what? You know, either you are on, Popal once was sitting in a chair, he said, either I am on Krishna's side, or I am on Maya's side, he said. I am leaning on one side. That is the nature of Tatastha. You always are leaning on one of the two sides. You can't be free from both. Either you are you know, serving the country and following the laws of the state, or you are in Narada jail. Nothing in between. Can anybody say, I will not follow the laws of the state also and I will not go to jail also? You can't say. We have to be one out of the two. So, even now we have a chance to forget Krishna and get swayed away in the current of Maya if you are not very vigilant and careful. So in the womb of the, in the womb the child is praying, at the time the child is pure and innocent and simple. But when he is born, gradually the cunningness and loss of innocence, all that happens as he grows in age. After suddenly it doesn't happen because the subconscious mind is carrying the impressions from Purva Janam. That starts oozing out, coming out, manifesting as we grow older and older. It is not impossible to overcome that tendency by intense chanting and by intense devotional service. We can completely transcend all the world conditionings. It's very much possible. It depends on how you use your choice. You only choose what you want to do. Today you chose to come for the morning lecture. You would have chosen to sleep in the room. Is it not possible? No. There are some boys who didn't come today because they prefer to sleep. Or some boys may prefer to go to a movie. So we all make our choices. So you make the right choice, then you can make swift progress in spiritual life. But child in the womb, when he is inside, he is praying. When he comes out, if he is sincere, then he will become a devotee like all of you became devotees now. Because you had some sincerity, and then Krishna gave you direction. You go here, you attend the class, you know, gradually you make progress. And now you come up to the point where you are right now. And this is not the ultimate. There is more progress to be made. If you continue to be sincere, then Krishna will continue to give you direction. Actually, Krishna simply gives you direction according to your desires. You cultivate the pure desire, Krishna will give you direction. Like, you know, we have seen boys who are insincere, you know, who become envious of other boys. They are, otherwise, anything you say, you do this, do that, they become rebellious, they are not cooperative with devotees, or sometimes they go away, you know. Even after coming to devotional service, some people go away. Yeah. Prabhupada used to say, you know, those who got Krishna consciousness, they are fortunate. Those who didn't get Krishna consciousness, they are unfortunate. But one who got Krishna consciousness and left it is called most unfortunate, he used to say. Even that happens, yeah. But by reading Bhagavatam, we get reminded of what happened to us in the mother's womb. Those things are explained in the third canto, 28, 29, 30 chapters. If you read the third canto, like Kapila is explaining to Mother Devahuti. Actually, that will be an eye-opener for us when we read those sections, yeah. And Laws of Nature book gives some portion of those chapters. It's in a brief fashion. And it's not that we lost our memory forever. We can revive our memory by sincere devotion service. More and more and more, we will become fully awakened. We will never leave the feet of Krishna. We can be strongly situated if we continue our devotional practices. Somebody was asking, Prabhuji, how I can advance very fastly? Actually, if you want to go on fast track, the main key lies with Shravanam and Kirtanam and Seva. The hearing, chanting and service, that is the place actually, the real secret for swift advancement. Those who read a lot, hear a lot, and those who avoid the asat sangha, keep distance from them, and they render a lot of service enthusiastically, then you make a lot of progress. Just like in a company also, no? For example, you joined a company, you are very enthusiastic in doing overtime in the company, you are trying to please the boss, you know, boss is very pleased with you and he sees that you are spending more time in the company and you are enthusiastic for coming up with new ideas to expand the company, and the boss becomes very happy. Then he gives you a chance to go to Germany or US to get some further training in your field, and then bring you back, and then they give you promotion. Yeah. Like one of our boys studied in VIT college, Gaurav Agarwal, no? So he joined as a GET, gradually became a project leader in Infosys, then he became a project manager. Now 7 years he has spent, he's a program manager now, which means about 75-80 big people are under him, just in a very short time. So very enthusiastically he worked for the company, they are giving him promotion. So I told him, now you work enthusiastically in Krishna's movement now. Now he's going to Australia now. I told him, please come to Pune. He's coming to Pune in a few years. And he'll settle. So he used to assist us a lot in preaching in BIT in those days. So he is getting promotion because company is pleased with him. They are giving him bigger and bigger position. If he's a muff, he's not doing any work, not sincere, they would have thrown him out, isn't it? Similarly in Krishna consciousness, if you are enthusiastic and sincere and you have right attitude, you make very swift progress. You need right attitude towards juniors, equals, seniors, all devotees. Guru, Shri Prabhupada, towards Krishna, towards everyone. I have brought a special cake for all of you, which is made with dry fruits and everything. You have cut it in enough pieces. This was some special Radhashmi Prasad. This had gone to Jayadev Prabhu in Sadhumati's house. I told them I am going to Mayapur boys. If you have anything special, you can give the boys. So they have given this. It's a dry fruit cake. So all of you can pick up your piece. Prabhupada ki.